Excuse me, what is going on here?
But first we're going to make a little detour.
So absurd, so questionable.
Yeah, I guess we're just the weirdos.
Expect the detour.
Do y'all get a lot of phone calls? Are y'all popular like that?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Do you consider phone calls from my barber a lot of phone calls?
From your barber?
Yeah.
He's calling you. He's calling you a lot?
He keeps calling.
Is that because you're texting him emergency?
Yeah, 911, call me now.
I notice the hair out of place, I text the man.
You just send him pictures of hair just kind of on the floor with 911, I need help.
Yeah. I say, is this mine?
Because if anybody would know, it'd be your bar.
Yeah.
No, okay. Well, you get a lot of calls from your barber. Mm-hmm. Normal. I'm sure since you get a lot of calls and you're so busy, you let them go to voicemail, right?
Pretty much,
yeah. Like you're sending it straight to voicemail a lot.
Yeah.
Let's give the Saturday workers renditions of maybe what your voicemail message is when somebody calls you. You send them straight to voicemail.
That's probably because I am currently stuck in a cement mixer. If you know me, you know how much I love going down slides and landing in mud. So a cement mixer, it was kind of the same thing. So send help and I'll call you back.
Hey, this is Zach. You've reached my cell phone. If I'm not picking up, it's probably because I've joined a cult. So, just wearing robes right now and sacrificing little animals to the god Zorlok. So, if you need to get a hold of me, go ahead and call me again or pray to the god Zorlok. I'm sure he gives messages. He could do all things. Pray Zorlok.
Hey everybody, this is Zorlok speaking. I can't come to the phone right now. I'm too busy overseeing my followers as they build a monument in my image. So just give me a call back. I'll have someone take down the message. Thank you.
This is Zach. You've reached my phone, the follower of Zorlok. If you didn't know, I'm no longer a follower in that cult. I'd realize that an omnipotent god wouldn't have an answering machine. So, I guess, you know, call me.
Hey, this is Alan. I can't come to the phone right now. Zach has recently taken over the Zorlok cult, and he's their new leader now, calling himself Zachlok. If you're calling me, please call again. Send help. We're being trapped here. We're held against our will in an underground bunker. That's all the information I have right now.
Hey, this is Zach. This is Zachlok, leader of the Zachlok cult. I can't come to the phone right now because we're about to sacrifice a couple of virgins named Al and Evan. So, you know, call me back or, you know, just send up a prayer.
Hey, this is Evan. Can't come to the phone right now. I've been sent in as a mole by the FBI. Kind of trying to infiltrate this Zachlok thing that's going on. Don't know why they're letting me kind of record a voicemail telling people I'm going undercover, but here we are. Hopefully I get out of this thing and I don't get sacrificed, because I am a virgin. So I seem like a first pick.
This is Zachlok. I have a newfound respect for voicemails as I just found out we had a snitch. So, oh man. So, you know, call me back.
Hey, this is Alan, High Priest of the Zachlok cult. on Eben's phone. Turns out we found out that he was a mole. He's being sacrificed right now. Do not try to contact him again.
Hey, this is Zach Locke on Evan's phone, setting up his voicemail. There's a lot of weird people trying to call Evan. Y'all keep trying to call him.
My barber? Tell him I found the hair.
How did his gag get out of his mouth? I thought we gagged him. Did we not gag him? Anyway.
Hey, this is Evan on my phone. They gave me one last call, and I used it to record a voicemail. Wanted to get this out to the people. Zach Lackland, not that bad. 2 out of 5 stars.
Hey, this is Zach. I have disbanded the Zach Locke group. Ever since Evan joined, it made me realize there is no God. And we are just a bunch of specks floating through the void. So, call me back, I guess. Yeah, I guess, if you were ever to call us, that gives you an idea what you would hear when we send you to voicemail, because we're important people. We're obviously going to send you to voicemail,
We don't have time to take all your calls.
Yeah, I'm waiting on a call from somebody important.
I'm looking over there at the QD switchboard. I don't know if you guys can see it over there. Can you guys see it?
Yeah, it's the big bright box.
Yeah, it is lit up with calls. We are getting calls coming in right now.
I forgot we installed a whole call system, a radio show that we have never used.
There is a woman on the other side who's got to be 83 years old, and she is just plugging in different wires.
Oh, it's like an old school switchboard.
Yeah.
She's taking it now.
She's taking all of our calls right now.
You had her under a sheet like an old car.
Honestly, she freaks me out.
She's a bit distracting.
She is.
A lot of movement over there.
Ugly. She's terrible. She's on the verge of death.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but yeah.
Well, she does a lot of work. Her fingers are literally worked to the bone.
Yeah,
with all
the
switching she does. And
for no purpose. We're not even using her.
Yeah.
She's just switching calls back and forth. For no reason. They're not even going anywhere.
She's just putting them on hold. QD, can you hold? QD, can you hold?
I send people to voicemail because I'm waiting on important calls from John Wayne.
Yeah, from Beyond the Grave.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
I'm expecting one any day now from Angela Merkel.
Yeah, sure you are.
Yeah.
Just I'm expecting a call from Frederick Douglass.
Ah, Fred.
I'm really interested in hearing about how the first black person in history existed. He was the first black person.
You think Frederick Douglass was the first black person?
Yeah, he invented.
I don't
black
think
people.
We should. Let's let
he
him think
invented
that.
Black.
Let's just let him think that. I figure, why correct him?
That's
at this
not
point,
down that hole.
That's just good history.
You're not teaching an old dog new tricks,
We're not the first people to say, look at Alan and say, let's not go down that hole.
Yeah, But, welcome to Questionable Detour. Let's do a hypothetical.
Dave, can I pose a somewhat abstract, purely hypothetical question?
I guess I want to apologize for asking a hypothetical question.
Well, that's a hypothetical question.
I think as far as competition goes, Questionable Detour has its biggest competitor in Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
Very similar podcasts.
I think if you drew a Venn diagram of listeners, ours and Dave Ramsey's circles would overlap.
Well, he gives financial advice. We give legal advice.
We give, yeah.
Counsel, if you will.
And I think maybe we should go and break into the realm of financial advice, because as three people with just a crazy amount of just extra income
and debt,
I want to ask y'all, what do y'all do to save money? What's y'all's money strategy in a time where inflation is so high, in a time where people are just trying to make ends meet? How are y'all getting by as far as money goes? How are you saving? What's your strategy? Just, I think people would be very interested into hearing us Give some money advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Zach, I'm so glad you asked this question. It's been on the top of my mind for weeks now. And if I could give just any one piece of advice to listeners out there, just some good advice, would be invest in dirt.
Yeah, definitely.
Just the dirt. Just dirt. Just
you talking about like the stuff that's on the ground outside? That's mostly ground?
Okay. Yeah, and people have been saying this for years, and maybe they mean property management, real estate. I mean loose dirt.
Okay.
gravel, maybe? Just stonework in general.
You mean the stuff that you could go outside right now and collect?
Yeah.
For free.
It's abundant, which means it'll always be there. Invest in it.
I mean, yeah, the stock, it can't get any lower in value because, I mean, it's always there. It's a steady stock.
Supply and demand. The supply is there, so people will demand it, is how I
That's how that goes?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If you recently came into some unexpected medical bills, mm-hmm. how easily would you be able to liquidate that dirt?
That's a good question. I mean, it depends on how the hospital views the value of the dirt.
Sure.
Sure, yeah. It's like art, you know?
Yeah.
You value it however you value it.
The beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but the value in the dirt, the hospital's really got to know their stuff, you know? They got to know.
You go in there and like teach them, worth. Basically.
Yeah, I say, this dirt, this comes from just the top layer of my yard. There's a little red clay mixed in, but that's the beauty of Tennessee dirt, you know?
While you're giving this in service to this hospital, is the dirt just kind of laid out on the front desk?
Well, like, I'm shoveling it.
You just had the dirt within your shirt? Like, you were just kind of carrying it?
I wheelbarrow it in.
Oh, okay, I'm a man of...
Yeah, I have means.
A man with that much dirt has definitely got a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, he's got to have a wheelbarrow. How else is he going to get his dirt around?
And you just kind of dump it on the front desk, and you're like, this is how I'm paying? Here's $3,000 worth of just loose topsoil.
Yeah, and they say, what are we supposed to do with this? And I walk them through all the things you can do with dirt.
I think that's good. I think Evan goes to the Federal Reserve, like maybe on a tour, and they're showing them, and they walk into the giant vault with the gold that backs the American currency. And everybody's like, you know, ooh and on, because that's amazing to see. Mm-hmm. But Evan's just like, where is the sediment? It's too shiny. It's too shiny in here.
How loamy is that gold?
It's not loose enough.
Where's your on-staff geologist?
It goes right back to it. It all revolves around the dirt.
It all comes back to dirt. Yeah. We're born out of dirt. We'll die back into dirt.
And you'll pay for your funeral
with
in dirt.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I think that's good. I think you literally have not progressed as a human outside of dirt.
What more is there?
I don't know.
Thank
Amen.
You.
It explains why you look like Pigpen from Charlie Brown right now. All right, Alan, one advice for people that need money advice.
I think life is too short to be constantly worrying about how you're going to earn money. Are you going to have enough money? So just go rob convenience stores.
Absolutely. Crime. That's one of the points I was going to hit.
There is a convenience store, like a gas station, on every corner.
What? Yeah. Supply and demand, right?
Supply and demand. Like, you hold up a gun and demand for their supply, and then the money is yours.
Yeah, like, as long as you have a gun, you have money, essentially.
Mm, yeah, and that's our country was built on guns, you know?
And just taking things from people.
And just taking things from people.
Yeah. Taking dirt from people, actually.
Looking at you, Cherokee Nation.
Yeah, so you're saying that just commit crime.
Just commit that crime.
I think that's something Dave Ramsey would be afraid to say.
I think he's a little bit too PC on how to earn your money.
Yep.
He wants you to be poor for a really long time before you can have money. I think there's a couple steps in between that. You don't have to be poor for a long time. You need enough money to buy a gun,
yep. And ammunition. I don't think you really need a bullet.
You really don't. If you are confident, let me tell you something, listeners. If you're confident enough with a gun, it doesn't matter what you've got in the chamber.
You just need your wit in the chamber. Your wit and your confidence in that chamber.
You need your wit.
I mean, they say that all the time about people. As long as you act like you know what you're doing, people won't bat an eye.
Fake it till you make it.
That's right.
So robbing convenience stores is a great, I think, is a great way to make money. It's a great source of income.
Minimal effort involved.
Really, not a lot of planning involved.
Short time frame there.
Short time frame. Relatively low risk, high reward there.
You're clocking in at a day-to-day job, 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
It takes, I don't know, 20 minutes tops, and that's like drive time included to rob a convenience store.
Right, yeah. And you, I mean, you're at a gas station, just go fill up in the gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just head to the next convenience store.
Kill two birds with one stone. Get some gas, get some money, you know?
Did you shoot the birds on the way out?
You did, yeah. You did.
You popped them in front of the convenience store clerk to show them you're serious.
You're not going to use that money to buy dinner. You're eating those two birds for dinner. Because we're all about saving money.
We're all saving. That's right. I mean,
our ancestors did it, you know. they ate bird.
I think that's good. Any other maybe sources of crime income that you would recommend other than just the casual convenience store robbery?
I think if you've kind of aged out of the convenience store robbery, because it, let's face it, it's a young man's game.
Young man's game, that's right.
I think the next step is probably good old fashioned racketeering. If you could just turn your home into a gambling den.
Oh, that's racketeering. I thought you meant you go around and rob people with a tennis racket.
That seems like that's going in the opposite direction. You were good with the gun. I don't know that the tennis racket works as well.
But racketeering is great. A gambling den.
Yeah, turn your home into a gambling den. It's easy way to make money.
And there's nothing like decreasing your debt by increasing somebody else's debt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of the yin yang in our life.
Actually, the yin yang in my life are two Asian gentlemen who work as bouncers for my racketeering operation.
Yin yang, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They wear a black and white suit, respectively.
Yeah.
My advice is to not trust banks, number one. Don't put your money in banks. I think if you can't see and hold money, is it actually there?
That is true.
You know, if you don't see your money, does it actually exist? I think you should keep all your money. And, I, a lot of people joke, like, oh, you're keeping your cash. You put it under your mattress. Yes, you do. But you need to diversify your portfolio as a financial manager. You need to not only keep that cash within your mattress, but in the mattresses of your neighbors around your neighborhood. You need to break into their house, cut open their mattress like you're giving it a C-section,
yeah. And
just jam cash into it. Nice. And as you need it, you're basically like a squirrel that's buried nuts. You'll remember where you have buried this cash around your town, and you'll just, if you're like, oh, I need to go eat Burger King, and you're like, stop here. You don't drive, because I mean, if you're doing this, you've lost your driver's license. And you'll be like, stop here. I need to grab some cash, and you'll just hop through somebody's window and get your cash. I mean, I'm not going down your route where I'm saying, you know, steal money.
Sure, sure.
Just get the cash that you have basically buried within other people's houses.
But also kind of like a squirrel, you forget where. You're like, I know I buried it around here somewhere.
It happens. Yeah. It's good to take notes, to take detailed descriptions of the places you left it. As a person that is growing in his financial management, such as myself, there have been multiple times where I've broken into a house, cut open a mattress, and there'd be no money in there.
Which you would think, noticing that it's not already cut open.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you probably don't have money
sure.
in there.
Yeah, but when you want a Whopper from Burger King, you're just drunk with that desire. Yeah. You're not noticing anything.
One track mind.
You don't only have to hide it in mattresses. Again, diversify your portfolio. You'll hear Dave Ramsey say this as well. Hide it in people's attics, in the shoe boxes at the top of their closets, you know, in the coat pocket that they have hanging in the closet, throughout people's houses. So if you need money, you're just kind of rummaging around people's houses because you forgot where you left the cash.
Yeah, I was listening to Dave Ramsey the other day talking about diversifying your portfolio, and he mentioned, you know, if you ever find an old well, like just...
like
just
an elderly sea mammal?
Well, I'm sure it could work the same way. This is, you know, an old well, like a hole in the ground. Just crawl down in that thing. Just really, really get to the bottom. And then just bury your money there. People, and what he said, and he says he's been saying this for years, but people don't use those wells anymore.
No, they don't. They have running water inside their house.
Yeah. So nobody's going to be chucking them. I mean, I don't necessarily know that I agree with that, Dave, but that is something that he definitely said.
I listen to Dave Ramsey, listen to us. I think
we're synonymous. So yeah, we're going to say a lot of the same things.
Yeah, I think you're going to hear a lot of repetition. So let's just say that, let me lay down a situation for y'all. So you're going to a bank, of which I already said don't trust, so thanks for taking my advice. Y'all are in a bank, withdrawing a number that has many zeros behind it, right?
Oodles. Like,
oodles of money. That's what you tell them. That's what you tell the bank.
They say, how much do you want? I say, oodles. Oodles.
And they're like, that's not a thing. That's
well, that'd be one or two oodles.
Well, let's just say you're pulling oodles of money out of the bank, and somebody comes in and robs the bank. You, as the innocent bystander, how do y'all handle that? Being the hero? Are you just trying to survive? Are you tossing people in front of you to maybe stop bullets? What's y'all's plan in that situation?
If you're in a bank and armed men decide to come in, I don't mean they just have arms. They have all weapons. Their limbs. They have weapons and they have all their limbs. Things are good for them. But if they come in, guns a-blazing, and, you know, they say, you know,
they're firing already.
Well, you know, we don't know these people, you know. They've got arms and guns. We don't know what kind of thing a person like that would do. If they're trying to rob this bank, I think your best bet is to make yourself unseen.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to get out of the way. If they see you, they can either kill you, which is probably what they'll do. They seem like they might be the murdering type. Or they can rob you, which neither of those things are great. But I think the best way to go about it is to just get on your hands and knees and pretend you're a table.
Okay, so you're saying become different objects within the bank or just specifically tables? You're a one-trick pony or a table.
The table is just the easiest one to do. A chair is kind of difficult, but depending on skill level, if you've been practicing, you know,
it's almost like a martial art.
Yeah, exactly. We hope you've been practicing. We hope that this hypothetical will get you to start practicing.
Yeah.
Table's the easiest one. Chair is obviously a level up. But yeah, your best bet is just to kind of camouflage yourself into the background of that bank.
And by camouflage, are you painting yourself? Are you doing anything to look more like a table? Or is it just kind of like almost a supernatural spiritual thing that you become so much a table within yourself that you look like a table to the outside world?
Yeah, a little of both. Like,
okay.
Your soul becomes a table, if that makes sense. You don't necessarily look any more physically like a table,
gotcha.
Though. If somebody looked at you hard enough, they would see crouched over individual.
Someone on their hands and knees.
Sure, yeah. But in your essence, you are a table. You've been built from a cut down tree. You've been
You have a whole backstory.
You have been milled. You've been
somebody's counted your rings.
Somebody has taken your legs and put them on the lathe, you know, and just really created you.
Now, you said this is almost like a martial art that needs to be learned.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you're dressed in the karate attire,
mm-hmm.
like the robe, and you have a black belt around you. Do you teach classes to people that might want to learn this ancient martial art?
It is very, very ancient. And yes, I do teach classes. Now, what I don't want to get confused is everybody knows that in Japan they don't use furniture. They sit on those cushions.
Right.
So this is not something that came from Japan.
No.
This kind of martial art originated from Akron, Ohio. And you
just kind of traveled through there one time and you met this, what you call sensei.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And emphasis on sin, because you met him at a strip club and he was doing all kind of various drugs.
Akron is a sin city. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. It is the Gotham of Ohio.
And you met this old, what you thought, wise man, where mm-hmm. he was like, I'm going to teach you a martial art where you become an inanimate object. And you go, mm-hmm. sensei, what?
Yeah.
And that's where that name came from?
That's exactly what I
got
said.
Okay.
And I did it in that voice, too.
Like Chris Tucker from Rush Hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Did my best, Chris Tucker. So, really, this guy, he had done so much cocaine prior to me meeting him. He was just falling over, and he accidentally fell in the position of a table.
And like a gong hit when he did it?
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. And so I immediately was just transfixed in what he was doing, and
right.
I thought, okay,
something to it.
There's something here.
Yeah.
And I said to myself in that moment, I should pack up my whole life. And I should come here to learn from this maybe crackhead.
You did like a whole monk pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
Like you climbed the highest hill in Akron.
I was...
which is just the dump. to meet this guy on top.
I was carrying those buckets of water with a pole, yeah, you know, like a, just carrying it up a hill, but, you know, it's in Akron, so, you, I mean, there's not many places to...
just a flat surface.
Not many hills.
You get to the top of whatever that hill is, and he's like, now become the bucket. Yeah. And you have to just strike a pose.
It's tough because the water that I'm carrying up is for his bath.
Oh.
Yeah. He doesn't have any running water.
Yeah.
Not much going for him, but...
But to be fair, the, you know, monks in Asia that know other martial arts probably don't have a lot of running water either. You know, they're more about cleansing the soul rather than their physical form. Mm-hmm. I assume this guy's the same.
He cares a lot about his soul. But in saying that he cares about his soul, I don't really mean his actual soul. I mean his soul patch.
Of course, he has a soul patch.
That is his prize possession.
Yeah.
He neatly trims that thing daily.
Does he make you touch it for, like, out of respect? You know how, like, kings of old used to make people kiss their ring?
Yeah, thankfully he doesn't make me kiss it.
He doesn't make you kiss the soul patch? Okay, that was going to that's where I was going with that.
What he does do is he makes you take your pinky finger.
Oh, God.
And just rub the soul patch.
Every time, like, you enter his presence,
you have
to kind of, you have to pay respects, pay homage
mm-hmm.
to his soul.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
You bow. Is there a lot of bowing involved?
You do have to bow, and you also have to bring tribute, which I'm not a huge fan of.
Or what do you have to sacrifice, basically?
I feel like just a quesadilla from Taco Bell would probably do about right for him.
You have to, not just a quesadilla, you have to spend about $30 worth at Taco Bell, and he knows what $30 at Taco Bell looks like.
Speaking of that, mm-hmm. So what was your training like under this monk sensei in Akron, Ohio?
Some of the training involved us going to the local furniture stores in Akron and pretending to be tables.
Yeah. I assume the standard was if a family tries to purchase you, you've arrived.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can trick someone, it's easy to trick a family. But if you can trick the manager of that furniture store, you've really made it.
Yeah. He's like looking at the inventory list and he's like, where did we get this extra table?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sensei kind of stands up and just bows to you.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the heck?
You get up, and he's freaking out. Like, I thought you were a table.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's just a man crouched.
How did I miss this? Now, this is folklore at this point. Is it true that you lived within somebody's family of four's house as their dining room table for about 5 years?
Yes. And I'm not going to lie, that was the toughest 3 years of my life. Two of those years were really nice.
Oh, okay.
The first and the last?
Yeah. The first year was easy. The first year is always going to be easy. It's that honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
The next 3 years, hell.
Is it because the wife and husband of that family were going through a divorce, and they were debating on who was going to get the table?
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, I don't care who takes our five kids. All I care about is that table.
That ornate dining room table.
That has that human flesh color.
That sounds like it's breathing.
It's hairier than most woods.
And their divorce lasted a long time.
Yeah.
They, you know, a three-year-long divorce.
Yeah.
They were trying to get their kids through school, I think.
Yeah, doing it for the kids.
Yeah. But you could tell they weren't happy, though.
Yeah, those nights around the dining room table eating mm-hmm. dinner.
Yeah.
And you just you could feel the tension as they felt you.
Just breathing behind them.
Sometimes if one of them was sitting alone on the couch, I would kind of shake myself over towards the couch and just put a hand on their shoulder.
That's what they wanted, to keep you.
Just comforting.
I think our house is haunted.
You need to get this table studied.
Was the couch another one of Sensei's pupils? Did he have the other pupil maybe being the couch in there?
Well, it was a sectional, so that was like three students.
Oh, okay.
that's a pretty tall ask to be a sectional, because... you know, you've got to team up with two other people. I mean, a lot of teamwork involved. I mean, we know this podcast isn't a great example of teamwork.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know that we could successfully be a sectional, though.
I don't know. I'd be afraid that we get found out. Mm-hmm. Like kind of like the one of the people in that sectional of that house, and the father figure of that house shot him right in the head when they found out he was not part of the sectional.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
In front of the whole family, which I assume started the divorce. He just murdered him.
Actually, no. That stopped the divorce from happening. Oh. That was New Year's Eve of year 5. That's why that last year was so good. Is because
he put down a piece of the couch like Old Yeller.
I see.
He shot him like a Nazi shooting some enemy.
I see the loss of one of our comrades as bad, but I view the family coming back together as something that's good.
I guess that's why year 4 was bad, because that was in year 4. Sure, uh-huh. It was on the turning point of year 4, but then year 5 started, and it's
the you family, saw the family come back together.
Yeah. And you know where they went when they came together?
What's that?
The dining room. The dining room.
Yeah.
All their meals.
They did a lot of praying after that. Yeah, but they were like, why is the table shaking? You're so nervous.
He's so happy to be here.
Is the table crying right now?
And they didn't even pick up the dead guy that was once the sectional, mm-hmm. because he was such a master of disguise that once he shot him, they're like, where did he go? All I see is a rug here now.
Yeah.
There's just an extra rug here where I just shot this person, because he just became the rug.
When you are committed to the craft, you don't even give up even in death.
So you had to sit there and look at this guy bleed out and then rot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so yeah, it's tough.
And I don't think we've asked yet, but what is the name of this craft?
That is true. What is this martial art? Just in case anybody wants to travel to Cleveland, Ohio to maybe
research
Akron, Ohio.
Oh, Akron, Ohio.
Don't go to Cleveland looking for this guy. He is
he doesn't travel well. He's in Akron.
not a big traveler.
Yeah, what's this martial art called?
It's called Crouching Table Hidden Person.
That's very good. I think that's great. It's great that you've mastered a martial art. Now, the person that you're sitting on has not mastered it. The chair, or quote-unquote chair, I can tell it's a person.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, he hasn't quite mastered it yet, but I mean...
The amount of fondling he's doing to your buttocks is really good.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of gave it away.
He's really handsy. and, you know, it's a peek behind the curtain and how the business is run. We're going to ship him back to Akron.
Yeah.
He hasn't trained enough yet.
You better be glad he wasn't in the house that you were at, because right now I would have shot him if that were the case.
Yeah, and, you know, he probably would have, if he was in that house, he would have probably grabbed the guy's butt after he shot the couch. Because it seems like that's all he knows how to do.
We all have our demons. All right, Evan, what do you do if you get...
Oh, yeah. That was
you're in a bank robbery.
Alan just hides.
We got a backstory on how you do that, though, so.
I know us three.
Okay.
And if there's one thing that we are in a high intense situation, it's cool under pressure.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So if I'm ever in a situation, I'm getting my oodles of money out, and somebody comes in, use Alan's term, guns a-blazing, I kind of group up with the other victims, but I also take a call. I take a call and I say, hey, Grandma, what's up? I start talking to Grandma.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the bank robbers come over. They think I'm calling the cops.
Sure.
Being held hostage. Probably shouldn't be on my phone, right?
Right, yeah. Why? They should have searched you. Really bad on their part.
Yeah. I say, well, hold up, guy. This is my grandma. Mm-hmm. You don't know when she's going to die. You should really reach out to your own grandmother. You know?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Pull that card on him. Just to get him thinking.
You hit him with the old, there's no moment like the present.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, he thinks I'm lying.
Yeah.
He says, that can't be your grandmother. Why are you talking to your grandmother right now while you're at the bank? That's obviously the police. You're in a holdup. Why would you not call the police if you have one phone call? I said, I mean, sure, good logic, whatever. So I hand him the phone. My grandmother starts talking to him. He realizes it is my grandmother. My grandma's talking to him now about this strawberry strudel cake that she baked this past week from her fresh strawberries from her garden, from her early spring. But anyway, while he's distracted talking about that, kind of like we just were, he's talking to grandma about that. I slip behind the counter.
Oh.
I'm the bank teller now.
Oh.
Wow.
You put yourself more in harm's way. You went from an innocent bystander that would get left alone to the person that with a gun in his face.
Because I'm cool under pressure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You just want to be under pressure.
Yeah. Just want more pressure. And he goes off the phone, respectfully. He says, I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, yeah.
Hangs up, turns around. Great. I'm there. I say, what can I help you with today? He says, we're literally in a holdup right now. Give me all the money. I say, okay, bucko. And I go to walk back to the vault. I slip on a pin someone dropped on the floor in the rush. Mm. You know how people drop pins all the time.
Like a riding instrument.
Yeah. And you know how slippery those things are. It's like a banana peel in Mario Kart.
Sure.
I slip. I hit my head on the panic button. I didn't mean to. But I did.
The panic button was just upright on the floor randomly?
Well, no, it was on the side of the desk. But I slipped and precariously fell. Head first into the panic button.
Yeah, okay.
But the robber was like, oh, well, he didn't mean to do
that. Yeah,
exactly.
He didn't do that on purpose, obviously.
I said, did you see that pin there? Because I didn't. So anyway, the police are on their way.
Thought you were going to go in the direction of, yeah, it's my grandmother. Oh, yeah, she's also the cops. You have
that would be great.
A police officer grandmother. Mm. Like old. I'm talking like old, like almost like a Pixar grandmother. Kind of hunched over, cane. But just in a tight, and I mean like skinned, painted on, police officer uniform.
She retired 2 years ago. She couldn't take it anymore. The forest was just too much. She'd been there for, I don't know, 40 years.
That's why she still wears that Kevlar vest every day, though.
Of course. But that's just out of fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you called her, because it was like one of these old action flicks where there's this old action hero that's been retired and some government agent comes out. Yeah. And goes, hey, Steven Seagal, Bruce Willis, Jason Statham, the country needs you. And, you know, of course, they're always hesitant to go like, I'm retired. I don't need this.
Yeah,
I assume that's what happened on the phone with grandma. You're like, grandma, please. I know I'm saying I'm cool under pressure, but we need you. And she was like, I'm retired, sonny.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like that. Really, she just wanted to talk about her cakes to anybody that'll listen. She's been on a kick since she retired. So.
Now, when you say she's in a kick, is that because once you hit the panic button, she was the one that kicked the door down, guns ablazing herself? Mm-hmm. Just two M240 machine guns just rattling off?
Yeah, she was firing the M240s, but they were kind of just going around. She can't handle them well in her old age. So they're kind of just
guns. Firing. She might have hit a couple.
Yeah.
Innocent bystanders.
She's doing more harm than the actual robbers are.
Yeah. And I didn't want to bring this up, but that is why she was forcefully retired from the police force. She couldn't be stopped, so they had to stop her.
But they didn't, because she shows up to this thing. Just
more of a vigilante now.
She fired hundreds of rounds in there. Like, it was bullet holes everywhere.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have the old cop uniform. It's like a cop uniform from, like, a Halloween party store. Or it's just, like, the sexy cop uniform.
Sexy cop, yeah.
So she has the old chest swingers hanging out.
Yeah.
You know. And, man, those 240s are rocking.
It's a rough watch.
Yeah.
For me personally.
Yeah.
That's my grandmother.
Especially as you watch her murder multiple people.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that skirt she was wearing was service issued or not.
It was not. Mm.
Nothing she's wearing service issued.
And in fact, a couple of the people at the workshop were like, thank you for shooting me. I didn't want to look at this anymore.
Yeah. It was really a mercy killing at that point.
But she did bring her strudel, though, right?
Well, of course. Like I said, that's what she's wrapped her life around now is baking. And she wants to share that with anybody she could get. So that's really why she showed up, is to get this robber to taste her strudel after he talked to her about
it. That makes sense. I guess, you know, that's why she didn't really care about the lives of the innocent bystanders.
Yeah.
She must really like the robber on the phone. She must have respected her well for her just to show up.
Yeah. I'd like to think so. I mean, he had a good spirit about him.
Yeah.
No, fell into some tough times, you know.
Do you think that they'll form like a kind of a relationship, like a buddy cop kind of thing.
Oh, I thought you meant like he'd be his new grandfather.
Well, that could be the case. They might do that.
I'm going to say I hope not. Good guy, sure. Not much of a role model.
Gotcha. Yeah.
To be my grandfather and someone I look up to. But sure, they could be buddies. They could exchange baking dishes. Do you think that maybe,
when they inevitably ask your grandmother to come back on the force, you're the only one that can handle this case, and she's like, yeah, I'll do it, but I'm going to need some help. And they have to, go go to prison to get this guy out, and they're Ooh. Like, he's got to help me with this.
That would be cool.
It's very classic 48 hours.
Maybe she asks you to maybe enlist on her A-team that she's got going on, but you don't really have a skill other than just kind of tripping and falling and just accidentally doing something right, like you did with the panic alarm.
The only skill I have on my side is luck.
She's going through, the people she's got on her squad, and then I've got my grandson, the teller, and it's just Evan falling, tripping over nothing.
There's, a guy defusing a bomb, and Evan tries to come and help, trips, knocks him out of the way, somehow accidentally cuts the right wire right in time. And, we don't know how he does it, but he somehow does it correctly.
Accidentally bites down on the right wire.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Just bites through it.
It's a 1 second left. Yeah.
Do you think your grandmother will ever remarry? I know that's kind of not really where we were going, but I kind of wonder about what she's.
Are you looking?
what's your intention with
what's
that?
What's your angle here?
Just seeing if there are any single old women around.
He's putting his feelers out.
You know.
You saw that cop costume, didn't you?
Yeah. bring your grandmother around here at some point. You know, yeah. Be on the podcast.
She's really busy. These days.
Yeah, just wreaking havoc. and not with what, not her guns, just her attire. Cars are crashing because they're getting distracted. Is this
just a stumbling block? Yeah. Walking around.
She's the cause of so many divorces. But there you go. I think those are really two great methods on how you handle a bank robbery, you know? Allen's was learn the martial art of becoming inanimate objects through years of mastering to eventually just become a table.
100%.
Or a couch or a fake tree. I don't know. And Evan's was call your hot-headed, irresponsible grandmother that used to be a cop and just rely on her. I think was how we would sum that up, right?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
How can I help? What can I do? To do a nice thing for you.
I need help.
All right, so we have a couple people that have written in that need some advice. So, Evan, who's our first listener that's looking for some wisdom?
The first person here is Theo. Theo comes to us with this question. What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me.
Theo says, I feel incapable of loving. All right, Jeffrey Dahmer. What does love feel like? I'm always asked if I love my girlfriend, but what does love feel like? What does it look like? What does it sound like? How am I supposed to recognize love if I don't know? It's always confused me, and no matter the way I think of it, it never makes sense. By what people have told me, it seems I've never been in love. So, boys, what would you say to Theo here about what love really is?
Theo, you've written into the right people. Yeah. We know what love is. You don't know this because it's an audio medium. We've been hugging this entire time.
Under this table in front of us, we're all interlocking toes.
Here's how I know that it's love, and here's how you will know that it's love. Do you feel like you want to hide in the corner and just watch them sleep? Do you feel like you want to drive a car, not right behind them, but a couple car lengths behind them? Do you want to get a telescopic camera lens and take pictures of them as they go through their daily life? Do you maybe want to collect their hair from the drain of their bathtub and build a replica? Do you want and build a replica?
Just find a different word.
and build and craft another them completely with their own hair. That is what love is. If you're not willing to do that, you're not in love. Okay?
Are you saying you want them to do all those things, or you want them to feel like they want to do all those things?
I think but when you love somebody, mm-hmm. you're first going to get the feeling that you need to follow them wherever they go.
Right.
And then you will eventually do it because it's the next progression of that feeling is the action part of it. You know, I would say when you love somebody, you're going to write cryptic letters with the alphabet cut out of magazines and crudely pasted to the letter so that your handwriting isn't noticed. And just you will constantly send letters like that to them, just being vague. Maybe call them, immediately hang up. Don't say anything. You know, you call, they pick up, you hang up immediately after. So that's what love is. It's what they say in all the classic poems and children rhymes. If you love someone, be around them a ton.
Without them knowing.
Without them knowing. Yeah. It's in parentheses.
I'm going to say love is a feeling that you get when you think about or complete an action. Love is, and I'll just rattle some off.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Love is lighting up a cigarette in a bowling alley.
Okay. I'm following you.
Yeah, yeah, we're here.
Love, I think about love is like cracking open that first cold one on your way to work.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Love is going to Walgreens and knowing exactly what laxative will get the job done right.
Love is rummaging through your dirty clothes to find some underwear and sniffing it, and it not being that bad.
Love is, it's taking that turn a little too tight. you know, it's hitting the curb.
And just
maybe shattering, bending your rim.
Feeling your butthole fall out. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, man. This is poetic.
There are so many different things that can instantly make you feel love.
Yeah, like a construction worker whistling at you as you walk by him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think love is in the simple things, you know?
It is, it is. We can find love in just everyday things.
Yeah, it's not a big feeling. I think that's great. That's a great advice, Theo. Find love in the simple things. Don't stop looking so big.
Definitely.
You know? All right, Evan. What is love to you?
Love is just seeing yourself together. With someone till the end of time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Whatever that may mean in that exact moment. That taking each other to the grave at that exact moment?
Oh, my God.
So your bodies will both always be together? is that maybe making a sacrifice of both of your bodies and just making sure your souls will always be intertwined?
So when you say love is forever, you mean like love is right now. Like, right, this is forever. Yeah, like,
yeah, for your forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Love is digging two unmarked graves out in the woods.
Love is digging her grave for her.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, man. I think people will look at this segment and then write poems about it. I think we have...
This is what inspired Shakespeare.
Yeah, I mean, people have been debating this topic for... since humans existed, and I think we cracked the case.
Your hands look dirty like this, so hers don't have to.
Exactly.
Oh, very good. There you go, Theo. I hope that answers your question, what is love? Stalk somebody. Be around them at all times without them knowing. Just find love in the little things. And once you find love in the little things, you'll know what love actually is. And finally, be with that person forever. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily on this earth.
On the celestial plane, if you will.
Who is our next person looking for advice?
Our next individual is a young fellow by the name of Esteban.
Esteban, what a name.
He says, I need help with drugs. To which he follows up. So the title is kind of misleading, but I have a really big urge to steal one of my mom's cigarettes and just try it. Or just find a way to get heroin and just try it. Really made a jump there. Both of my parents were drug addicts, and they quit recently, so I was old enough to understand what was going on. So I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with it. These urges are getting really bad, and I don't know what to do. Any advice on how to stop these urges?
Well, Esteban, based on your grammar and sentence structure, it seems like you've found drugs. So yeah. I think you're good there. But guys, Esteban seems to be struggling with cigarettes and or heroin. There's two options for him. No middle of the road for Esteban here. How do you think he should squelch those urges to do drugs or tobacco?
Well, yeah, it sounds like he really thinks that cigarettes are a
yeah,
drug.
Yeah, he's like, what are the worst drugs you can do? Esteban's like, heroin, cigarettes.
Aspirin. well, Esteban.
Oh.
You guys know Esteban.
La Cucaracha.
Yeah. Esteban, now you said you mentioned your parents were drug addicts. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that goes back. How old were you? However many years that is. I'm assuming they were probably on drugs when you were a child. That's probably where you're getting these urges. You had the drugs in the womb, so now you want them now.
Yeah.
You're fiending. You're already a little addict. So I'd say the best way to get out of that, to snap out of it, is to just do the drugs.
Give it to your primal urges.
Exactly. Just do it, and then you'll realize how not special or special it is. And then you can kind of just take the lead from there. So that's my advice, is just do the drugs.
Don't fight it.
Don't fight it.
Yeah.
You're just putting a lot of unnecessary energy into something.
Yeah, a lot of stress.
Yeah, you're just stressing yourself out.
Stressing yourself out means you want a cigarette more or exactly. heroin more.
I want to know how he chooses between other things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Should I get a tricycle or an F-22 fighter pilot plane? What should I get?
Do I go to work or go murder someone?
His decision making is probably just top tier. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's great. Just give in to it. You're not going to hear that in an AA meeting.
Hey, you didn't go to an AA meeting.
12 steps is too many. 12 steps is too many. We have one step. Give in to it.
Yeah.
All right, Alan, what's your advice for Esteban?
Esteban, if you want to do these drugs, if you want to ensure that you're not going to like these drugs, just do things that look like drugs but aren't. So line up just a bunch of lines of baking soda.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to look like Coke, but it's not going to give you that same Coke feeling. So because you don't get that high, you're going to immediately think, I don't know, Coke's not for me.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You might not get the high, but you're probably going to get the low.
Yeah, there's no way snorting baking
you
powder.
You will 100% get the low. For those the cigs that you mentioned, just go buy some of those long pretzels and just start pretending like you're smoking them. Mm-hmm. Again, not going to give you that satisfaction you're looking for, so maybe you'll think twice about wanting a cigarette next time.
And as you lose friends because you're trying to smoke a pretzel, I could see it maybe causing more urges to do drugs because you're losing friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hopefully the people in your life are telling you, hey, you don't need to do that when you're over there packing a couple of pretzels against the table, you know?
Oh, I think that's good. So pretend to do drugs as if you're a middle schooler.
There it is.
And that will help your urges. My advice, Esteban, is make this a family thing. You know, maybe there's a positive light you could spit on this, a silver lining, if you will. You said that your parents were drug addicts. Well, you should be a drug addict too. And instead of maybe having a family game night, it's just a family heroin get together. And you do heroin together. And that will bring the family close. I think every family is different. Not every family is going to manifest family time the same way. I think your family should go ahead and really jump in the deep end of drugs. And just that should be y'all's thing, you know?
That's really sweet.
I mean, his parents did it already.
I mean, you have an in to find the drugs.
It's heritage, honestly.
Yeah.
That's experience at that point, too.
I mean, we're all trying to learn something from our parents. Exactly. There they go.
Some people's dads teach them how to throw a ball.
Yeah.
Some teach them how to do heroin.
Yeah. Find the vein in the arm, you know? What belt to use? Well, Esteban, there you go. There's your advice. We're still confused about your decision-making, jumping from cigarettes to heroin, but I guess we'll overlook that. You didn't exactly explain that. But that's what our advice is to you, to help those urges. Give into it. Do drugs like a middle schooler and pretend. And then I say give into it, but do it with your family. But that's it, guys. Would y'all want to give one last little bit of wisdom with our one-liner wisdoms?
They say the grass is always greener on the other side. But I say the class is always meaner when you pee your pants.
It's just, oh man, spoken from experience. very good.
They say, chop your own wood and you'll warm yourself twice. I say, burn down an old schoolhouse and it'll warm you one really big time.
No. Very good. But there you go, guys. I hope that's good advice for y'all. Remember, legally, you have to do one of these options. You don't have a choice. We recommend doing all the options. But you have to do at least one of them. Otherwise, we will send lawsuits your way.
Yeah.
We've already written three. We don't want to have to do more. It's just our obligation.
That's right. That's right. If you have a hypothetical you want us to answer, if you need advice, you just saw the advice we gave to two needy people. If you have a place you want us to travel, if you need fun facts about a subject, I mean, just write us in. Tell us how much you hate us. questionabledetourpodcast@gmail.com. All right, guys, y'all want to be done?
Oh, yeah.
Expect the detour.